countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Follow our new Weanling Watch series for expert analysis and commentary from thousands of cattle sales weekly.
Welcome to Ireland, Commissioner Sinkevicius. Your visit here is primarily about fisheries at a time of considerable anxiety and anger in the Irish fishing industry over Brexit. What were the concerns expressed yesterday when you met industry representatives in Killybegs in Donegal? And did you gain any fresh insight into the issues?
Well, first of all, I'm very glad to finally arrive to Ireland, because I, of course, planned this trip way earlier, but due to COVID restrictions, we couldn't make it. But my primary goal was to come and visit community which is far from capital and not always gets the attention that it deserves, especially from the European Commission. And of course, to express my sympathy with the community, because we see that the situation after Brexit possesses certain challenges. And yesterday we had a chance to discuss with everyone who participated, everyone spoke, everyone expressed their opinion. We had a very frank discussion, and of course we need to look forward for a measures which can help community. And one of those measures is the Brexit Adjustment Reserve, which Ireland is entitled with the largest proportion, and flexibility clause is there, which gives a great leverage to Irish government to really address the funding to the sectors which are most in need. Secondly, of course, we discussed situation with certain quotas and tax, which worries fishermen. And then other issue which are, of course, under my portfolio, under my belt, but I find it a very constructive discussion and constructive dialogue upon which we can build up.
The Irish industry feels particularly let down by other EU partners in the final Brexit deal, which resulted in a 15% overall reduction in Irish fish quotas, particularly the key species of mackerel and prawns, to the value of €43 million. Why do you think that this was the best deal available when it is one that seems so unfair to Irish fishermen?
First of all, you know, we have to take into account that it wasn't only, you know, a deal between Ireland and UK. It was between EU and UK. And of course, none of us really wanted it, unfortunately, but it was choice by UK, and we had to deal with it. When it came to negotiations of quotas and tax, which will sort of UK take, it began very, very hard with the zonal refer what the UK started with, and that would mean, you know, a completely loss of access to waters. So we managed to move from there. Then, of course, certain stocks which were, you know, interesting to UK. Let's not forget that at the beginning, you know, Brexit promises were 100% of fish, and now they went down to 15%, which is of course, again, I don't know if you can call it, let's say, a marginal victory, but at least a modest one for sure. But those 15%, of course, had to include certain stocks, and mackerel played a big role. It's a species which valuated high, and which is also, fished by UK fleet, especially in Western waters, were also fished by Irish fleet. And therefore, of course, that, you know, if you look that the 15% was flat among all the fleets, but of course the Irish part is slightly bigger because of those quotas which are fished as well as for UK. Other member states are less interested in those quotas. Maybe, for example, Denmark, they had a big loss of industrial quotas, which Ireland is not interested in, but it played a role for them. Then, for example, French, they also paid there through skates and rays and other quotas. So, you know, there was flat, you know, and we had 9 member states who were impacted by that. And from the very beginning, unfortunately, we knew that fishery sector is the one who has nothing to gain from Brexit. It's not going to be possible even to remain status quo, even we wished for. And I think landing zone, which we found was, let's say, the least damaging that was possible. We have, as I said, you know, Brexit Adjustment Reserve, we have our MFAF, and now we should be in line to help our fishermen and women in this situation to go ahead and to adjust to a new reality.
By MFAF, you mean the new European Maritime Fisheries and Aquaculture Fund. And there was also an example recently where two Norwegian vessels landed fish into killybegs after Norway decided to unilaterally set its own mackerel quota. Does the EU plan to take any action over this development in relation to Norway?
Absolutely. Norway and Faroe Islands, their unilateral decision to exploit mackerel, which is a species which is in danger and which I think none of the parts is interested in collapse of stocks, which would mean, you know, only losses to the sector. Their unilateral decision is unacceptable. We were trying hard to get back to the table and have a sustainable agreement as we had with 2014. Unfortunately, both parties do not agree to that. Why this all happened again? It's a consequences of Brexit, unfortunately, where we, of course, have very limited leverage on Norway on this. We're looking at, of course, not escalating those issues and solving them in a diplomatic manner.
A one-month tie-up scheme where Irish skippers are compensated for staying at the quay for a month is being introduced. How extensive do you expect this will be? And there's also a decommissioning scheme anticipated where Irish vessel owners will be paid to take their vessels off the register. What approach will be taken to the compensation of vessel owners? The concept of a just transition is used in other parts of the economy. So will there be provision for fishermen who depend on this industry to knit their communities together?
So it's early to say, you know, the MFAF, we have reached agreement and now it's the programming period in member states. We don't have Irish program yet, but none of the member states submitted it. So it's hard to say what part of Ireland's MFAF funding will be foreseen for these two programs you have mentioned. But I think, you know, both of them inevitably are a part of our CFP goals. So having a healthy stocks, having a fishing fleet which is able to fish at the sustainable levels, and of course by reaching that in helping the community in compensating their possible losses.
There are critics who say that the common fisheries policy is ripe for root and branch reform. For example, Dr. Peter Tindall, formerly of the Irish State Sea Fisheries Board, BIM, has said that the policy is in breach of the treaties of Europe on the rights of fishing communities to an income.
So we are going to have a CFP review, full review, taking into account many, let's say, events which occurred, such as Brexit. We have to take into account what also does an impact on fish stocks, things like climate change, pollution, and so on. So I think, you know, all that criticism can be also addressed, and we always listen in into a stakeholder's comments. We'll do a review, we'll do this exercise very carefully, looking at the shortcomings, and after review is done, we, of course, might be looking at certain changes in CFP, but I cannot promise that we will be reopening the CFP, because I think there is still a lot to be done, and fishermen had to go and through a lot in order to comply with the rules, and I think it would be unfair towards them now to announce for around some kind of reform. So I take a very cautious way here. Only after the review is done and the certain gaps identified, then we can take additional action.
Ireland has committed to 5 gigawatts of offshore renewable energy by 2030. That's a key part of our decarbonisation plans. But there's some concern in the industry that these targets may not be met, while there's concern in the fishing industry and among environmental groups that the rush to renewables may be at the expense of the marine environment. Have you a view on this?
First of all, of course, I welcome Ireland's ambitious plans in renewable energy. I think with the current energy prices raising up, we see that, you know, dependence on third countries can be very dangerous for Europe, and of course renewable energy and being self-sufficient, it's a way out of it. But of course we cannot, by solving one problem, create another one. And of course calls of fishers, fishing community, calls of NGOs also has to be taken into account. Commission has been advocating and pushing member states to submit their marine spatial planning. because the pressure on the sea is inevitably going to increase. We have renewable projects, we have marine protected areas, we have fishing community, we have shipping, tourism, and all that will have to be accommodated. So of course, member states has to do their exercise on marine spatial planning, ensuring that all that activities would be accommodated and wouldn't lead into decline of ecosystems of marine areas. Last but not least, of course, new renewable energy projects, they also has to be in line with the Birds and Habitats Directive, and of course we will be very carefully looking into that. We have a few cases in Europe where we already see this danger, and we immediately signal that to member states.
Commissioner, you recently spoke about Ireland's environmental performance in an address as part of the EPA, Irish Institute of European Affairs, Environmental Resilience Series, and you reflected on some positive examples of good environmental governance, such as the results-based farming model developed in the Burren and County Clare. However, you said you also had serious concerns about the status of blanket bogs and raised bogs, old oak woodlands, semi-natural grasslands, the viability of many Irish farmland birds and other rare species, such as the freshwater pearl mussel, which depends on very clean rivers. What would you say to Irish farmers about their role in the future management of the environment as we face the twin crises of climate change and biodiversity loss?
I think, first of all, you know, taking a good care of environment and biodiversity, it's a win-win solution. It's also a win-win solution for farmers because, you know, they can, only healthy soils can bring them a better profitability, better production. So I think we all have to be part of the solution. And I'm very thankful to farmers who very often act as a guardians of our lands, and of course in this transition we have to take them into account and on board, because Green Deal won't happen without having farmers, fishermen and women on board. This is the communities which we also have to accommodate. I think the first positive step is with CAP, with eco schemes, which gives farmers a chance to be rewarded for actually taking a better care of their lands. I'm very happy about the ongoing projects where, of course, there is evaluation of ecosystems, and based on that evaluation, farmers get incentivized, because I think, you know, flat payments to everyone doesn't really do good and does not really motivate our farmers to have a maybe slightly different view.
And finally, Commissioner, water quality is one of the key planks of your environmental brief. The EPA has charted water quality across the country, noting that nitrogen levels are high and rising in the south, southeast and east of Ireland as a result of agricultural activities which have been influenced by EU policies on food provision. As Commissioner with responsibility for the environment, what are your reflections on this? And do you think Ireland is in danger of losing its nitrates derogation?
That's an important, I think, point which has to be taken very seriously. That's a matter of concern because, of course, we will be looking at it very carefully and evaluating, because compliance with nitrate directive is very important, especially when it comes in the times when we have our biodiversity strategy, when we have our farm to fork strategies, where we have a clear decrease of pesticide used. And of course, when we're looking at not only protecting land and waters, but also restoring degraded ones. So with these programs, we cannot afford to have, you know, one step forward and two steps back approach. So therefore, I think that this is a matter which has to be treated as a priority.
Thank you, Commissioner Sinkevičius.